Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate. Join with me, as always, co-host Tone.
Good evening, boys.
Welcome back, Tone, and moderator AJ.
What up, boys?
We are back. It is week 8, I believe. It was a rough week for teams like the Buccaneers and, unfortunately, the Patriots. The Packers didn't look good. Just a weird season to start this year. Our picks, we did fine this week, so I'll just go ahead and waste no time. Send it over to AJ. How do we finish?
All right, week 7 recap. Nate, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. You had 7 plays, 7 single bets. 8 units were in play.
11 units.
11 units were in play. You finished 4-3, which, you know, pretty good for the week, although you were down 1 unit because, unfortunately, the NLOD did not hit last week. Yeah, how'd you feel about that?
Yeah, it was a fun 6-week straight winning streak. The lines were up at halftime. I was feeling really good about that.
Should have covered.
Yeah, and getting the 7 points. And then the Cowboys, I think they scored within like the last like 3 minutes or something. And it was all downhill from there. So I'm okay with it. I can't expect to win it every time, but I got a fire one this week, and it is okay. Not going to lose. Guaranteed.
Okay. All right. Our guy Tone had 6 plays, 6 single bets, 6 units in play. And Tone, you're back on the winning side. You went 4-2 plus 2 units. How'd you feel about this week?
Yeah, it felt pretty good, honestly. It's nice to get back on this side of the fence. Sorry if you did end up fading me last week, but the plays felt pretty good. I was a little disappointed in the Colts. I even teased them personally, and they still couldn't even cover that. And I thought the Jaguars should have closed that game out too. But overall, it was a good week. It was fun, and we'll see how it fare out this week.
Well, speaking of the Jaguars, our luck it in. We had 2 plays, 2 straight bets, 2 units, and the luck it in went 1-1 because the Jaguars were -3 and they could not cover. But we did have the Seahawks Chargers over 51. Hopefully everyone grabbed that because it soared over. 50% on the luck it in. As far as the yearly totals go, Nate 26-14 at 65% plus 20 units. Tone at 19-20, he's coming back. He's 48%, -2 units. He's going to get back on the green after this week. I can feel it. The luck it in is at 5-3. It's at 62.5%, plus 2 units. And the head-to-head, still 0-0.
It might change this week. We were just talking before the show. I mean, it can't not be a whole season without a head-to-head.
It's got to happen.
Almost no way.
Definitely happening.
It's got to happen at some point.
Can't not.
Can't not happen. We're due for a head-to-head.
Head-to-head.
It's got to happen. But speaking of head-to-head, we have a season-long competition with the boys versus D-Say.
What did he say?
What did he say? The current score is LCP3, D-Say 4. He did take a jump last week, and he's coming back with some fire this week. You know, he's got to keep it relevant, keep it interesting. So, with that being said, sorry about that. Here is our What Did He Say trivia question of the week. After last week, week 7, the Buffalo Bills have the top offense as far as yards per game, as well as the top defense as far as yards per game. Who was the last NFL team to finish the season in first in both offensive yards per game and defensive yards per game?
Okay.
That's a good one.
What did he say?
Shout out to our guy. We have
a 1-in-32 chance at getting it right.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I like
some might say 2-in-32.
Yeah,
some might even say 1-in-16.
I like that.
Yeah.
Very true. All right, so we've recapped last week. We have distributed the What Did He Say. Before we jump into the lines, we're not a baseball show. The World Series is coming up. Any takes? Any opinions? Any teams you're pulling for?
I'm going to say the F word. Fuck the Astros.
There we go.
Yep, and
I can ride with that.
Go Phillies. We'll lock
that in. There we go. Yeah, not a big Eagles guy. They're fine. If you guys know or listened to the show previously, I am a 76ers fan, so got root for my Philadelphia Phillies here, and also a fan of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so a few reasons to root for the Phillies, and like I said, fuck the Astros, those cheating bitches.
All right.
I said what I said.
We can all agree with that. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into the week 8 lines. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're all listening for. I know you guys got some good picks this week, possibly a lot of takes. We'll see. We'll start with Thursday Night Football. It's going to be a good game, or at least it would have been a good game when the schedule came out. We'll see if it's actually good or not. We have the 4-3 Baltimore Ravens, currently minus 1 point, and they're traveling to Tampa Bay to take on the 3-4, disappointing, but first place in their division, Buccaneers. Over-under for this game, 45.5 points. What do we think about Thursday night football?
I think I'm going to go ahead and pass this game. I've just been trying to stay away from these primetime type of games, and both these teams are a little underwhelming right now. I would love to take the Ravens, but maybe that's what they want you to do. But I'm going to go ahead and pass this game, and I'll just see how it plays out.
Yeah, Thursday night, the stinky Buccaneers, 3 straight losses. They just got pummeled by the Carolina Panthers, who had an XFL quarterback starting for them. Couldn't put up any points. Leonard Fournette looked terrible. I was just praising him last week. Tom Brady, I don't know what's going on. I know we've said it 10 years ago. We said it 5 years ago. We're saying it today, but I think this is it. Maybe he shouldn't have came back again. Him and Aaron Rodgers, they just look terrible this year. So I'm also going to pass this one. I think me and Tone were just talking off air. I think what they want you to do is tease the Buccaneers up to +7. That's what they're looking for. They're not going to get me this time. I'm going to pass. But I still think it could be a fun game to watch. A lot of the stinky Thursday night games they've been throwing at us. Last week was pretty cool. The Saints and Cardinals was a battle. Hopefully this one lives up to the hype.
All right, we're going to jump to Sunday, and we are heading back to London. We have a game at 9:30 a.m. I know we love those London games. We have a stinky game right on par for the London games. It's the 2-5 Denver Broncos. +2.5 points. They're traveling to Jacksonville to take on the, well, they're traveling to London to take on the Jaguars, who are 2-5. Over-under for this game, 39 points.
Yeah, you got stinky Trevor Lawrence, and then who knows what Russell Wilson's going to do. He spent, 4 to 6 hours stretching on his 8-hour flight there. He's just been very odd lately, so I don't know if he's going to play. He kind of screwed me by not playing last week. He had 2 units on him. They still tried to win, but found a way to lose, just like Denver Bronco fashion. But I do have a take on this one. I'm going to take the under. I don't see much offense coming from either of these teams. It's going to be a slow start, flying over to London. Can't imagine a lot of points being scored. If I didn't check what the first half under was, I would put 20 units on it if I could. So I'm going to take that under a 39.
Alrighty, I can't disagree with you. It probably will be a stinky, low-scoring game. I'm just going to pass it. Neither one of these teams are ones I want to back right now because they've both let me down, so I'll go ahead and pass this game.
All right. Next up on our list, we're going to be jumping to the Sunday at 1 o'clock games. We have the 2-5 Carolina Panthers, +4 points off of a win versus Tampa Bay, traveling to Atlanta to take on the 3-4 Falcons. A runner for this game, 42 points.
This is a really interesting spot, actually. So you have the Panthers, who won by 18 last week, versus the Falcons, who lost by 18 last week.
Huh.
So I thought that was, I found that kind of interesting. Historically, teams that are in the Falcons position tend to do well. So when you've been down or you get beat that bad the prior week and now you're a favorite at home, you know, generally they do pretty well. And I think they're the better team, honestly. So I think they're going to run the ball heavy this week, which should bode pretty well for them because the Panthers are a bottom third team as far as the rush defense goes. Atlanta is third to last in yards per game defensively, and they're giving up more passing yards per game than anyone. But if we look at Carolina's offense, it's pretty poor as well. So I don't think that should be as big of a deal. You know, I think last week the Panthers beating the Bucs was more of a Bucs problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we look, Tom Brady threw the ball 49 times last week and had 0 touchdowns. They only rushed the ball 16 times. Leonard Fournette only had 8 of those. It was just a weird offensive game plan, and they got their asses beat. So I am going to go ahead and take the Falcons -4 at home. I just think they're the better team. I'm gonna put 2 units on it.
Oh, nice.
I can't imagine that Carolina goes on the road and you know, does well versus Falcons team. So I'll go ahead and take Atlanta -4 for 2 units.
I like that. You mentioned it. It was definitely a Buccaneers thing, and I'm starting, maybe it was a Todd Bowles thing so far this year. Defense isn't playing up the par like they're thinking they would. The offensive game plan made 0 sense. It's not like they were getting crushed the whole game where they just get rid of the run, where they got to throw the ball downfield. So made 0 sense. I'm going to pass this one. I have no read on the Falcons. They're such an up and down team this year. The Panthers, I think after trading Christian McCaffrey, that helped a little bit of the momentum for them just to go out and really want to get a win. McCaffrey loses on his new team. Panthers get a win that no one saw coming. And I don't hate their two running backs in Foreman and Hubbard. So I'm going to pass this one. I don't hate that Falcons play. I was thinking teasing the Panthers at the plus 10, but that just has not been working this year. So I'm a root for you from the sidelines.
Yeah, and another interesting note about this game is Carolina's only two wins this year are against teams that both beat the Falcons. So I thought that was kind of interesting as well. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
All right, next up we have the 3-4 Chicago Bears plus 9 points coming off of a win last week. And they're going to be traveling to Dallas to take on the 5-2 Cowboys. Over-under for this game, 42.5 points.
Yeah, it's hard to get a read out of this game. The Cowboys just came off that win against the Lions. Dak Prescott's first game being back. The Bears looked fantastic on Monday night. They got Mac Jones out of the game. 33-14, that's a trousing. So I'm going to pass this one. 9 points is a lot. I don't think the Cowboys are good enough to give 9 points to anybody right now. Dak Prescott did not look all that impressive. I think he just had around like 200 passing yards and touchdown. So I'm going to pass. I think the Bears can win this game on the road, but 9 points is always a weird one for me. Don't want to tease it either way. So I'm a pass.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also going to pass this game. I think Dallas should definitely come out and win, and they definitely could win by double digits. Dak's second game back. We'll see. If Zeke doesn't play, that could be a plus. They actually let Tony Pollard do his thing. And I don't know. Either way, I'm going to pass. I don't really know if I'll even watch this one from the sidelines.
Yeah, I'm also going to turn the channel if this one's on TV.
All right, we have the 4-3 Miami Dolphins, minus 3.5 points. And they are traveling to Detroit to take on the 1-5 Lions. Over-under for this game, 51.5 points.
So for me, this is just a classic over spot. I know the unders have been prevalent this year, but like we said, that's slowly going to start to change, and I think it changes here. You know, we have two teams that have barely scored the last couple of weeks, and we have two teams that have a ton of offense or a ton of talent offensively with defenses that are in the bottom half of the league. So I think it's an over game. Detroit started 4-0 against the spread as far as the over goes, but they failed to cover the over in the last two games. The last two games, they didn't have DeAndre Swift, and Amon-Ra St. Brown barely played. So I think that's a factor. You know, Miami hasn't scored more than 21 points in a while, but this will be the weakest defense that they played by far, and they have Tua back. So I think they can get over that 51.5, so I'll take it for two units.
Oh, very nice.
Nice.
I love that play. I'm not going to take it myself. I don't know if Tua's comfortable yet being in that being in the backfield. Two concussions already this year is scary. He does have two of the best receivers right now, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. I can imagine that going over. The Lions, man, their defense looked great in the first half last week, and then I don't know what happened in the second half. Maybe Dan Campbell isn't as great of a coach that we're thinking he is. He's a great motivator. I don't know. DJ Shark is on the IR. I know the Lions have a ton of weapons. I love the over. I'm not going to touch it this week.
All right, we're going to go from one NFC North team to another.
To the better one.
We have the 3-4 Arizona Cardinals plus 3.5 points. They're dookie, but they're traveling to Minnesota to take on the 5-1 Minnesota Vikings. Over-under for this game, 49 points. What do we think for this one?
Well, hear me out. I can't see the Minnesota Vikings going to 6-1. I know they're at home. I know Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback in the NFL. At 1 o'clock, I think the Cardinals need to win more, and you're giving me 3.5 points with the Cardinals. I hate to do it, so it's basically going to be a win-win for me. But this is my three unit NLOD of the week. Give me the Cardinals getting that 3.5 points. If the Vikings do manage to somehow win this game, it will only be by a field goal. But they have nobody to cover DeAndre Hopkins, no one to cover Rondale Moore, Zach Ertz. I mean, Robbie Anderson should get a little more action this week in the offense. Can't cover downfield. And can't contain Kyler Murray. So this is an easy one for me. Cardinals plus 3.5.
Yeah, we're going to look that in. Nice. So You know, on paper, the Vikings do look like they're better. You know, they're 5-1, but again, we look at their wins. They beat the Packers, the Lions, the Saints with a backup quarterback, the Dolphins with a backup quarterback, the Bears. Like,
third string quarterback for the Dolphins.
Right. So it's just, you know, I don't know how much quality there is in those wins. And the Cardinals, you know, they just got DeAndre Hopkins back. He had, I think, 14 targets last week.
Crazy.
He's heavily involved. James Conner should be back to go with Eno Benjamin, who's been fantastic, really. You know, I don't see why the Cardinals couldn't win this game or at least compete in it. So if you're going to give me that hook, I'll take 3.5. I'm also going to take the Cardinals team total over 21.5 points.
Oh, that's a lock.
So I'm going to put 2 units on that. This is going to be one of the worst defenses they played so far. And again, you got DeAndre back. You got James Conner back. That offense should operate differently. I don't like that we have a West, you know, a team from the West coming to the East, but I'm still going to go ahead and play it, and we'll play the Cardinals plus 3.5 and their team total over 21.5 for 2 units.
All right, a lot of plays on that game. Next up, we have the 2-4 Las Vegas Raiders. They are minus 2 points. They're going to be traveling to New Orleans to take on the 2-5 Saints. Pretty stinky game. Over-under for this game, 49.5 points. Do we like anything on this one?
I got to pass this one. I would like to take the Raiders. I would like to think they're better, but it's hard to say who's going to play quarterback for the Saints or even how they're going to operate. So I'll go ahead and pass this game.
Yeah, I'm also going to pass this one. Initially, I did like the Saints tease up the 8 if Jameis Winston was playing. But I'm going to pass this one now. I had to switch it up last minute. Just getting the news that Andy Dalton will be starting. Michael Thomas hopefully is back this week, but I don't see him coming back anytime soon. He doesn't like to play football, apparently. Jarvis Landry might be back. He might not be. Just a lot of injuries. Alvin Kamara hasn't even scored a touchdown this year. So I'm going to pass this one. I think the Raiders do end up winning it on the road, but I don't want any part of this.
All right, so last week's fishy line of the week, it featured a New York team, the New York Giants. And this week's fishy line of the week is also going to feature a New York team, but it's going to be the Jets. We have the 3-4 New England Patriots, minus 1.5 points on the road versus the 5-2 New York Jets. Over-under for this game, 4.5 points. Is anyone going fishing this weekend?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to say what I did last week. That was a bit profanity. I'm not good with words. But, yeah, I'm going to jump all over it. I'm going to take the Patriots for 2 units, laying that 1.5 points on the road. They just got crushed on Monday night at home against a Bears team that is, I mean, isn't. Were they at home or on the road last week? Patriots were at home, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And they said Mac Jones is starting. He had a little bit of a rough go at it on Monday, but I can't see this Jets team keep on winning, especially Bill Belichick against the Jets, who's tend to do a pretty good job against them on the road, minus 1.5. Definitely going fishing on this one. 2 units. Give me the Patriots.
Very nice. I'll just go ahead and root for you on this one. I'm going to pass it. I would love the Jets on a teaser leg, getting them up to 7.5. I mean, their defense has been solid. You did unfortunately lose Breece Hall. Mm. Shout out our guy DSA.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Shout out my fantasy team.
They did trade for James Robinson.
But they got James Robinson, right. So that was a nice improvement. I don't see why they couldn't stay within a touchdown. I love them on teaser leg. I'm going to try to stay away from it, but I will watch and root for them or for the Patriots for you to win.
Thanks, dude.
All right, our last game for the 1 o'clock shift, we have the Battle of Pennsylvania. We have the 2-5 Pittsburgh Steelers plus 11 points, and they're traveling to Philadelphia to take on the 6-0 Eagles. Over-under for this game, 43 points.
This is another game. I really want to take the under 43. I do want to take a minute to shout out Lock and Cash Sports on TikTok. So he shared this really cool trend with us. I believe it's 9-2 to start the year. Mm-hmm. You take the under when you have a favorite of 9.5 and more. So there's 2 games this week that qualify. We have this game, Philadelphia minus 11, and then we also have the Bills minus 11.5 versus the Packers. So both of those games qualify. Unfortunately, I'm going to skip out on both of them this week just because you have two of the top offenses. You know, the defenses defense for the Steelers especially isn't good. I don't know how many points they can put up by themselves, so I'm going to pass, but I do love the trend. What are you going to do, Nate?
I'm also going to pass. Plus 11 is a lot of points. Eagles off a bye. The Steelers, they tried against Miami. I thought they had a good chance of winning that one, but it is nice to see this Pittsburgh Steelers team getting 11 points from just about anybody, being from Northeast Ohio. So I'm going to watch this one from the sidelines. I don't know. I think if you want to get a little crazy, silly little tease, plus 17 would be a lot of points. But this Eagles team, they just got Robert Quinn. I don't know if he's going to be playing or not, but McCaffrey was traded to the 49ers on Friday, and he saw a good amount of snaps. So I can imagine he'll be in there. Man, the Eagles are good.
Yeah, they're really tough. An interesting stat, or thing about this game is the Steelers have been more than a touchdown underdog in four straight games. That's the first time that's happened in 40 years.
Wow.
Over 40 years. Yeah.
Love to see it.
Me too.
Love to see it. All right, Sunday at 4:30, we have the 4-2 Tennessee Titans, -2. Tennessee's been looking a little impressive these last few weeks. And they're going to be traveling to Houston to take on the 1-4-1 Texans. Over-under for this game, 40.5 points. Any plays on this divisional game?
Yeah, I think this could be a trap game. I'm going to jump on the other side of it. Give me the Texans getting 2 points at home. They might only have one win this year, but the Titans have been playing a little bit above their pay grade, I think. And at home, I think the Texans get the win. I think what they want you to do is put everything down on the Titans. What you're thinking is, oh, they can win by a field goal all day. But I think the Texans go out and get a win.
All right. Love to see that. I really like the Houston. I agree with you. I think it definitely is a trap game. And, if you look at these two teams, statistically, they're really not that different. They're both towards the bottom half of the league. So, I love getting Texans up to 8 on teaser. I'm just going to refrain from a teaser this week. But, this Titans team, they have 4 wins. They beat the Colts twice, the Commanders, and the Raiders. So, not a lot of quality wins there, and I think the Texans at home could definitely take advantage of them.
All right, speaking of those two shitty teams, we have the 3-4 Washington Commanders, +2.5 points, and they're traveling to Indianapolis to take on the 3-1 Colts. Over-under for this game, 40 points.
Another game I got to pass. It is stinky. You have Ellinger starting for the Colts now, and you have Heinicke starting for the Commanders. The Commanders seem to operate better with Heinicke, in my opinion. So I could definitely see them covering that, especially on a teaser leg, +8.5. But I'm ultimately going to pass this game.
Yeah, you mentioned it. This is going to be the first leg of my only teaser this week. I'm taking the Commanders up to 8.5. Heinicke is way better in this offense than Wentz ever was. I think Brian Robinson Jr. is going to have a big week this week. He had about 20 carries last week. Didn't get the yards he was looking for, but at the end of the game, Heinicke made the huge clutch throw to Terry McLaurin to really seal the win. And I don't know, it's funny to see a Heinicke versus Ellinger quarterback matchup. And I also like the under in this one, so I'm going to also take the under of under 40. And I'm going to disclose my second half of the teaser later on when we get to it.
Ooh, very nice.
Okay. Next up, we have the 3-4 San Francisco 49ers. They are -1.5 points, and they're going to be traveling to Los Angeles to take on the 3-3 Rams. Over-under for this game, 43.5 points.
Oh, it's my turn. I'm going to pass this one. I think the 49ers, they just have the Rams number. With Chris McCaffrey in this offense, I think this is arguably the best offense in the league now with him, Jeff Wilson, Deebo, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk. I think Juwan Jennings is a good third receiver they got there. So if Jimmy Garoppolo can just control the game, I know they got smacked pretty good in the second half against the Chiefs. I think they can end up winning this game, but it's hard with the Rams coming off a bye. I'm just going to pass this one.
I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's hard to do. I don't want to go take a favorite on the road in a divisional matchup, but I got to take the 49ers.
Nice.
So I'll take them -1.5. I think Christian McCaffrey has definitely had a little more time to learn the playbook. He was there for like 48 hours and still got some snaps. So he's had a couple days. He can get more acclimated. I just don't see how this Rams offense can keep up with the 49ers. They have a tough defense. I got Nick Bosa back. Last week I did fade the 49ers because I didn't think they could keep up with the Chiefs offense, and they couldn't. This week, I don't think the Rams can keep up with the 49ers offense. They already had offensive line problems. They just lost their left tackle for the season. I don't know. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I got to take the 49ers, even though it's tough, -1.5. Just one unit.
Just one unit. Okay.
Just one.
All right, Vegas continues to somewhat disrespect the New York Giants, and they're doing it again this week. The 6-1 New York Giants are plus 3 points on the road as underdogs, traveling to Seattle to take on the 4-3 Seahawks. Over-under for this game, 45 points.
Yeah, the Giants are. So the Giants are undefeated straight up as underdogs this season. They're 5-0. Oh, wow. They're the first team since the 1999 Lions and the 2004 Jaguars. Okay. To do that. So that's kind of interesting. You know, I shouldn't be fading them, but I'm going to. I'm going to take Seattle minus 3. I just think they're the better team in this spot. Their defense is getting better. They have a ton of talent on offense. I don't think that the Giants can continue to go on the road and win these games. They've been the luckiest team in the league so far. I don't think they can continue to get these breaks, and maybe they will, but I got to go ahead and sell them while they're high, and I'll go ahead and buy the Seahawks, so I'll take them minus 3.
Yeah, we're going to look that in. Yeah, I mean, this was the same spot as last week, the Giants versus the Jags. Giants were getting 3 points from a team that you really mm-hmm. didn't think they should, but shout out Geno Smith. They got rid of Russell Wilson. Everyone wrote off the Seahawks, but, I mean, I know it might sound like a stretch or an overreaction, but this someone looks like a playoff team this year. He's getting it to the playmakers. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf's having a great year. Biggest name here, they might have lost Rashad Penny, but Kenneth Walker III has stepped up in the biggest way possible. I know my guy Tone had dropped him pretty early in the fantasy year. I happen to have a better waiver than him when Penny went out. But to be fair, I did have Penny on my team, so it was a nice little trade-off. So that was nice to have, and I'm also going to put 2 units on that one. I think the Seahawks go ahead and blow the Giants right out of the water at home.
All right, we got 2 units, and we're lucking in the Seahawks minus 3. All right, let's go ahead and jump to our Sunday night football game. Again, this is another game that should have been good when the schedule came out, but it's not a game that I'm super excited about. I'm going to see if you guys are excited about it. We have the 3-4 Green Bay Packers, and they are plus 11.5 points. This is the most Aaron Rodgers has ever been given as far as points go in his career. He's traveling to Buffalo to take on the 5-1 Bills, who are really hot. They are in our What Did He Say question of the week. Over-under for this game, 47.5 points. What do we think about Sunday night football?
Yeah, as a Vikings fan, it is thrilling to see the Packers at 11.5 point underdogs. I don't know if it's Rodgers taking a huge step back. I don't know if it's the receivers just not on the same page as him. Rodgers, I don't know. It just looks like a different player this year. I don't want any part of it. I think the Bills, I think everyone wants you to take the Packers with those points. It's still the Packers, but on the road against the Bills team who's coming off a bye, I want no parts of it.
Yeah, it's tough. So Aaron Rodgers, this is the first time in his career being a double-digit underdog. So he's had 234 regular season starts, and it will be broken this week, and that was the longest streak in NFL history. So for a quarterback, that was kind of interesting. I thought, I'm going to go ahead and pass this game. The Bills could blow the water, blow the brakes right off the Packers here, and maybe they won't, though. I don't know. I'm going to pass. I'll watch this from the sideline and see how it plays out.
All right. Well, that's going to take us to our final game of the week. It's Monday Night Football, and I hate to do it, but because it's such a stinky week, it's AJ's moderator game of the week.
Oh.
This is it. We didn't have one last week because it was just some rough games. This week ain't much better, but because it's Cleveland, we're going to do it. We have the 4-3 Cincinnati Bengals, minus 3.5 points, and they are traveling to Cleveland to take on the 2-5 Browns. Over-under for this game, 47 points. Any action on this game, boys?
I'm going to pass this game. I would love to take the Browns on a teaser even. I feel like they got to cover 9.5 versus the Bengals. The Bengals are hyped up right now after they've had some good weeks in a row. They, you know, really took it to the Falcons last week. Now they're on the road again in Cleveland. I got to stop betting on this Browns game. So I'm going to go ahead and pass this game and see how it plays out.
Yeah, you kind of caught out both legs of my one teaser. So pairing up that Washington Commanders at 8.5. Initially, this line was at 4. I love the Browns at plus 10, but, I mean, I don't hate them at plus 9.5, so I'm going to stick with it. The Browns on Monday night at home is a whole new atmosphere. So at 9.5, the Browns are really good at losing games within a touchdown this year other than that Patriots debacle. So I think they keep it close. 9.5 is a lot of points. The Bengals will probably end up winning this game, but it's going to be a close one.
Nice. I love to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got some action on the Monday Night Football game for the Cleveland Browns. And if it feels like we're a game short, we are. We have two teams on bye this week, Kansas City Chiefs, L.A. Chargers. Any thoughts or opinions on either of those two teams, boys?
Man, the Chargers needed it this week. They just got crushed by the Seahawks. Herbert back-to-back weeks where he seems to be throwing the ball a ton and just not throwing very many touchdowns. Keenan Allen could use another week to heal up. Mike Williams just got hurt, so I think they really needed it. But the Chiefs, man, I think they wanted to play again after that game against the Niners. They probably don't hate it. And the bye weeks are starting to get a little further down the line, so not the worst spot for either team. But if anyone needed it more, it would be the Chargers.
All right, now that the lines are complete, let's go ahead and jump to our Week 8 recap. We'll go ahead and start with Nate. Our guy Nate has 7 plays, 1 teaser, 6 single bets, and back-to-back weeks we have 11 units on the table. Nate, what do you got for this week?
Yeah, like you mentioned, 11 units on the board. I got the Broncos, Jags in London under 39. My NLOD of the week is the Cardinals getting 3.5 for 3 units. I also have 2 units on the Patriots laying 1.5 points against the Jets. I got the Texans plus 2. My tease of the week, I got the Commanders up to plus 8.5 and the Browns up to plus 9.5. Commanders Colts under 40 and the Seahawks minus 3 for 2 units.
All right, so that's going to be Nate's plays of the week. Let's go ahead and jump over to our guy Tone. Tone's got 6 plays, 0 teasers, 6 single bets, and our guy Tone's got 12 units on the table. So Tone, take us through your plays.
Yeah, so I have all 2 unit bets, and I have Atlanta minus 4, the Cardinals plus 3.5, the Cardinals team total over 21.5, the Lions over 51.5, 49ers minus 1.5, and the Seahawks minus 3.
That's a lot of units.
A lot of units.
23 combined.
23 units combined. And then lastly, we have 2 luck-it-ins for the week. 2 plays, 2 straight bets. It's only right that we put 2 units on each of them the way we were playing this week. So give us 4 units total. Cardinals plus 3.5 for 2 units. Seahawks minus 3 for 2 units. And that's going to be our Week 8 plays for the Luck Changers podcast.
Big units this week. Super excited. This is not the week you're going to want to fade us. I can promise you that.
All right, boys. So our lines are out there. Our plays have been provided. That means it's time to go ahead and jump to our Week 8 NFL DraftKings. How did Week 7 go for the boys?
Oof.
Oof.
Big oof for this guy.
I didn't get to get in there this week. So how'd you guys play out?
Yeah, kind of oof for me as well.
Out of 23 competitors, I finished 22nd, so.
Nice.
Yeah, it was not a good one for me.
Who took the top spot? I believe our guy Justin, right?
Did he? Whenever I finish that low, I just tend to not even want to look at it.
Fair enough. I understand that. Well, shout out to our guy Justin for rounding out the top spot for Week 7, but Week 7's last week. This is Week 8. So, Nate, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. Who is QB1 for DraftKings Week 8 Nate roster?
Well, I think I got to take the 1 o'clock goat on this one. At 6,100, I got my guy Kirk Cousins.
Nice.
Everyone knows the stats. It's Kirktober. This is the last week he's going to have, what is today? Oh, yeah, okay. This is the last game for Kirktober. Okay. So at 6,100, give me Kirk Cousins.
Love it.
Very nice. I'm going to go ahead and take Tua. So Tua's nice. Back. You know, he's playing this Detroit team who's statistically one of the worst in the league. I'll take him for 6.2K.
Perfect. So for my first running back, I went super high on my running backs. This guy didn't get many touches last week. I expect that to change immensely this week at 8,700. Give me Christian McCaffrey, CMC.
Nice.
Unfortunately for our Jeff Wilson fantasy owners, this is going to be the week that you're going to see a large decline in his touches. McCaffrey's going to get a lot of the catches out of the backfield, a lot of rushes, and I think he's going to take more of that Debo Samuel role from last year. So give me Christian McCaffrey at 8,700.
Very nice. With my first running back, I'll take Alvin Kamara, 7.1K. He's going against this Las Vegas defense who can definitely have some points put up on him. So I'll take Alvin Kamara for 7.1.
Love it. So for my running back too, I really went high on this these 3 players here. So I got Saquon Barkley against the Seattle's defense that I'm not really all that impressed with. Austin Eckler had a huge week last week, and I just think Saquon, until he proves me wrong, I'm just gonna ride him for almost the rest of the year. So at 8,100, give me Saquon Barkley.
Very nice. With my second running back, I'm going to take Damian Pierce. He's 6.3K. Tennessee has had one of the worst rush defenses start the year, and I don't see why he can't get some yards against him. So I'll take Damian Pierce for 6.3.
Very nice. So I just spent $8,700 and $8,100 on my running backs. Might as well just pair Kirk Cousins with a $9,100 Justin Jefferson. Best receiver in the league. Spending all my money on these guys. Wait till you see the rest of my team. It gets pretty cheap, but I'm anticipating a ton of points out of those two.
Okay, very nice. With my first wide receiver, I'm going to take the guy he's back off of suspension. It's DeAndre Hopkins.
Nice.
7.4K. Last week was his first week back. He led the team with 18 targets. So that's just crazy stats. Obviously, they want to get him involved. And again, this Minnesota defense can definitely be scored on. So I'll take DeAndre Hopkins for 7.4.
Right on. So for my wide receiver two, I'm telling you, it was a huge dip. 4,100 for my wide receiver two. It's Ben Skowronek from the Los Angeles Rams. He's been playing really well lately. Great flex receiver for these guys in between Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson. Tyler Higbee in that offense, I think he fits right in. And I don't know, I think they might get him this week against San Francisco. They're due for a win, so give me Ben Skowronek.
Very nice. With my second wide receiver, I'm going to take Jalen Waddle. He seems to be back and healthy. We have Tua back now. He definitely likes him as one of his favorite targets. So I'm going to go ahead and pair him with Tua. I'll take Jalen Waddle for 6.7K.
Very nice. So for my wide receiver three, I got Equanimeous St. Brown. He's only 3,900, but coming off 7 targets on Monday night against the Patriots, I think Justin Fields starting to find I always forget the word. It starts with help me out. They're I don't want to say compatible, but they're
chemistry.
I knew it was a C word. I choke with those, but yeah. So Equanimeous St. Brown at 3,900 against Dallas, who I'm not all that impressed with them. I'm sure they're going to put all their top defensive backs on guys like Cole Kmet, who he's got to do something eventually, Darnell Mooney, and just kind of quarterback reading Justin Fields for the day. So St. Brown at 3,900.
Very nice. For my third wide receiver, I'll take DJ Moore. He's 5.3K. He has a new quarterback situation, and last week was his best week as, you know, fantasy-wise since his new quarterback. So he had 69 yards and a touchdown, but he had 10 targets. They want to get him involved. He definitely seemed to be vocal about his position before. So I have some confidence in him. I'm going to buy him while he's low. I'll take him for 5.3K.
Very nice. For my tight end, I have Tyler Conklin at 3,200. Always seems to get a lot of targets. He's a good check down guy for Zach Wilson. I know Elijah Moore has been talking about how he wants to trade, so I can't imagine him seeing much of the field. Garrett Wilson has taken a huge step back these past few weeks, but Tyler Conklin has been very consistent throughout the year. So at 3,200, I think that's a steal at tight end.
Very nice. For my tight end, I'll take Dalton Schultz, 3.7K. Dak's back. He's back off injury. And him and Dak always had good chemistry. I feel like he likes to get him involved in his passing attack. He had 5 targets last game. He almost had 10 points, so he's right there for a tight end. Hopefully he can get a couple more targets, maybe even get into the end zone. But I'll take Dalton Schultz for 3.7K.
Love that. And for my flex, I got Boston Scott at 4,200. I can imagine this game getting out of control pretty quick, him coming in, seeing a lot of touches. They like throwing it to him out of the backfield, and it just seems like every time I watch the Eagles, Boston Scott just comes out with a huge long touchdown. So that's mainly what I'm banking on for my $4,200 flex.
Very nice. For my flex, I'll take Wandale Robinson, 4.7K. He's playing against this Seattle team, and their defense is getting better, but they can definitely get some points up. He's their number one wide receiver right now. He had 8 targets last week. We'll see if he can get involved again, and I'll take him for 4.7K.
Right on. And for my defense, I got the Washington Commanders at 2,600 going up against Sam Ehlinger. I can't imagine that offense doing much. I know Jonathan Taylor is another week healthier, but seeing what this Washington defense did to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, I can imagine they bounce back this week in another big way.
We'll luck that in.
Hey.
I also have the Washington Commanders for 2.6K.
Right on. So, real quick, I'd say we just recap our teams. I'll go first. At quarterback, I got Kirk Cousins at 6,100. Christian McCaffrey, 8,700. Saquon Barkley, 8,100. Justin Jefferson, 9,100. And here's the dip. Ben Skowronek at 4,100. Equanimeous St. Brown at 3,900. Tyler Conklin at 3,200. Boston Scott at 4,200. And the Commanders defense at 2,600.
Very nice. I have Tua at 6.2. Alvin Kamara at 7.1. Damian Pierce at 6.3. DeAndre Hopkins at 7.4. DJ Moore, 5.3. Jalen Waddle, 6.7. Dalton Schultz, 3.7. Wandell Robinson, 4.7. And the Commanders at defense, 2.6.
All right. So that's our DraftKings rosters for the week. If you are not part of our DK, please let us know. We'll love to get you in there. If you are part of our DK rosters, and thanks for playing each week. I'm definitely going to work on getting in there myself this week. Pretty bummed out I missed out last week.
Could have won big money.
What did he say?
I don't know if I got this one.
As what did he say? Before we wrap up the episode, got to get the trivia answer out there. Let's see if you guys can get this one and tie it up this week. So, Buffalo Bills are first in offensive yards per game, and they're also first in defensive yards per game. So they're just firing on all cylinders. And that takes us to our question. Who is the last NFL team to finish first in both categories for an entire season?
How do we get how recent it is?
Sure. It was 2010.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't help me whatsoever.
The Denver Broncos.
All right, Denver Broncos.
I'm going to say the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers. All right. Unfortunately, neither of those are correct.
Damn.
So that's going to be LCP 3, D-Save 5.
Why do you seem so excited?
That's a bummer. But
is it really?
Tone was in the right division. It was the San Diego Chargers.
Oh,
okay.
2010.
Curveball. Very nice.
Okay.
Interesting enough, they did not make the playoffs either.
Wow. Oh. How's that work?
9-7, and they did not qualify for the playoffs.
Very interesting.
Really hate to see that.
I feel like I wasn't even close.
Yeah. So, shout out to our guy, D-Say.
What did he say?
That's our question of the week.
We'll bounce back. We always do.
Absolutely.
But do you guys have anything before I throw the outro at these listeners?
That's it, boys.
That'll do it. I'm excited for another week.
I am also. We got 23 units on the board. I think it's the record for the LCP combined, so make sure to stay tuned for that. Basketball is well on its way. We might talk a little bit about that eventually, but for now, we are in the dead center of football season. It happens so fast every year. I don't know why it goes by so fast. If you are still listening, we truly appreciate you guys more than anything. If you haven't yet, go ahead and follow us on all our social medias, especially on TikTok. We've been posting every single day, super quality content, Luck Changers podcast, and that's on all our social medias. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. We have an email, luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, shoot our way, ask about a line, stardom, sit 'em, either way. Let us know. Like I said, we appreciate you guys. Every single listen means more to us than you can ever imagine. So, like AJ had mentioned, if you want in our DraftKings, go ahead and shoot us a DM or an email. Send us your DraftKings name, and now we'll send you an invite immediately. So, for your host Nate, co-host Stone, moderator AJ, we are the Luck Changers, and we are out.
Adios.
Moderator out.
Peace. I'm out of here.